Okay, so I'm Jeremy Thake. I'm a technical product manager in the Azure marketing team. I focus on Azure App Service and Azure Functions, but I own the digital marketing solution and implementations on top of Azure to do with things like web content management and social marketing. I didn't want to have this session go very kind of deep technical immediately, and I wanted to set the scene on digital marketing first. And we're lucky enough that Jeff actually works for Microsoft and recently moved into an engineering role. But he's a lecturer at various universities around America and a bunch of board member things, which I'm sure he can explain in a moment. But I thought it'd be great to kind of set the scene first off of where we think this digital marketing aspect's going to go. I'll explain where that maps to Azure and what things we can do in Azure when it comes to digital marketing, and Howard's actually going to come on stage from Sitecore and demonstrate what Sitecore's doing on top of Azure as well. So with that, I'm going to immediately hand over to Jeff, because we're only got 45 minutes in here, and I want to make best use of his time and Howard's time and my time. So thank you, Jeff, and I'll just hand over to you.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me today. And again, yeah, congrats on finding this room. This took me a while, too. So I just want to start out today. Yeah, so I teach for UC Irvine and soon Oregon State University, and study kind of this area all up, marketing technology and customer experience. And I wanted to start with a little bit of a level set of this is my personal philosophy when it comes to marketing. Every touch point with a customer is marketing. From the first time they see an ad, to they hit your website, to their onboarding experience, or even the sales process, all the way through to if they ever call or have any hiccups in the product, any bugs that come up, every single one of those impacts, whether they're gonna talk about your brand in a positive or a negative way. So you all have a role in marketing and throughout the entire company as you go through that. This, after a lot of research, is where we tend to think the future of marketing is going. Now, we are not here yet today, and no one in the industry really is. Customer-centered, personalized marketing, a lot of buzzwords up there. Let me dive into this a little bit. So customer-centered, our key focus here is how do you understand where your customer is in their particular buying or consumer decision journey with your company and product? I'll share a little bit of research that we've done into that. Because if you can identify where they are, then you're able to better service up the right content and in context of what they're going through right now at the moment. Personalized. This is an area where a lot of people are heading into. We're seeing the emergence of real-time personalization on websites, chatbots, AI. All these things are trying to get more personalized so that I'm not a cluster segment, I'm me, right? That's where the future of the market is headed, so that brands know and are able to deliver individualized content to you. Integrated. We've done a great job on this across a lot of our digital channels, but not so much all of our offline channels as well. So being able to start looking at the future of how can we tie in things like geolocation and mobile to digital signage. What does that look like as we head into the future? And then lastly, optimized. And this is where we think machine learning and a lot of these really strong capabilities the AIs are heading is into pieces where what if you can know what's best for your customer and auto-optimizing those campaigns, those investments as you're going through that. And why do we think this is the future? It's because when brands put the customer at the center, it creates a better experience for the customer because they're not getting spammed by all this irrelevant stuff. You guys can probably relate to that. And the brands and the customers only getting things in context of who they are and where they are in their particular buying journeys. The problem, though, is we've been promised a lot of silver bullets as marketers. And his companies all up, a lot of tech, right? First, it started out with the era of pay-per-click, right? You just got to invest in Google pay-per-click ads. Now Bing, I have to say that, right? Then it turned into SEO. Well, if only you do SEO, you're gonna get all the leads and demand gen that you need. Then it turned to email marketing. Then we got all this wonderful email coming to us where it was just another spam engine for us, right, as brands, even though this is still one of the most impactful marketing investments companies can make. Then it moved into marketing automation, and this was the new silver bullet. You just needed to invest in this, and this would fix all of your problems. Then we got into content marketing. Content marketing is the king. Hopefully these sound like buzzwords you guys are familiar with. Now we're getting into account-based marketing and predictive marketing. Well, the problem is that none of these alone, technology alone is not a strategy that's gonna solve all of your problems, right? What's holding us back in marketing and attaining this vision is, number one, we have way too many tools. This latest report, I believe we're at just over 4,000 marketing technology tools that you can pick from. Then those all create individual data silos as you go through that. How do you actually understand and get that holistic picture of your company and of your customers? And then the last is too much data. We've, as marketers, have been taught to tag everything. Some of you in the IT world have been the receivers of this and being, right, go tag this, I need you to do that, we just need more data. Well, that's not always the case, right? We need to focus on the implementation of the data and actually going through this. I wrote an article not too long ago on defining what big means, and actually I take the approach big meaning significant data, where you're actually trying to answer a question versus combing through and looking for random insights. That's expensive to do that. When you start with a question, you can actually figure out where you're going.
Over here while you're at it. So why does this matter? Why are these core areas when we're blundering and having these mistakes come up? What we found in the customer 2020 report, this was huge, right? By 2020, customer experience will overtake price.
Oh, is the slide coming through? Oh, all right. Wow, sorry about that all. So why does this matter as we take a look at this?
Over here while you're at it.
Man, apparently my slide wants to talk to me. Can we just mute the machine up here for a sec? Cool, thanks. So why does this matter? Well, we saw this recent report by Consumer 2020 that customers are going to start basing their buying decisions on the customer experience all up. That it's going to overtake product and price as a key brand differentiator as you look at it. And think about the way you're starting to make decisions. You'd much rather go with a company that's going to take better care of you. They're going to be easier to work with all around. Again, every touch point with a customer is an experience. Also, Serious Decisions just about a month ago released this stat. 80% of buyers are saying that the most significant driver to picking their selection of company they're going to do business with is either a direct or indirect customer experience. So looking at your customer experience holistically is absolutely critical to your entire company strategy as you go forward. That's why this matters as we start to take a look at this today. Again, transformation as you're looking at this is not just technology alone. You have to analyze your technology, your process, and your culture as you're going through that. All three of those have to align to move you forward. And we at Microsoft have actually been going through this ourselves, right? We started out with a PC on every desktop. It was what we wanted to do. Product, product, product. We build it, you will buy it. We're now shifting entirely over to a very people-centric focused organization, as you heard from Satya at the keynotes, in that new world and where we're heading into. We've changed our mission statement. We've realigned our company around these new core values to look at this holistically from the way that we approach interacting with our customers. Our sales compensation models have changed to focus on consumption of our products, not just selling it. Right? We're doing this holistic turnover on our technology, but also on our process, and also on our culture that we're changing as well. We did that even in the way that we stack rank, or we got rid of the stack ranking system at Microsoft, right? We're changing these things. It takes time in a big organization, but we're making the moves to transform into a much more people-centric company. We also did a lot of research in the space here on what this should look like. So we did a basically blind test, a lot of research in the space, and we found most companies have this kind of marketing funnel when they're analyzing themselves, sales funnel. Our research showed that there were five distinct stages to the consumer buying cycle as we went through that. Open to possibility, decision to change, evaluating, and this wasn't linear. And you might skip a step and you might move forward. That open to possibility is looking at things like just general awareness, right? Let's take a TV for an example. I have a TV today, but I know there's a lot of great ones out there. There's bigger TVs, there's thinner TVs, there's 4K, there's 3D, right? There's all these different things that are out there. There's lots of brands. Something then happens, right? That decision to change, a catalyst. Maybe my two-year-old throws a golf ball into my TV. I can only hope then I can buy one. Maybe I move, I get a bonus, right? Something happens in my life. And how do you as a brand identify that that catalyst happened? Now I'm looking at my TVs. I'm going into the evaluating stage, looking around, analyzing them, doing pricing comparison, moving into shopping, asking my friends, family, that network around that. And we have a whole deep dive on this that we can share if you guys are interested after. And then we get into experiencing, which is not quite what you would think. It's not your experience with the product. It's feedback of your community around you, right? Have you ever heard the phrase, like, you wouldn't be fired for picking this particular tool, right? You're never going to get looked down upon if you pick a known brand, right, in a TV, or your friends come over to watch a football game and they see it and they're like, wow, this is a great TV. That's the feedback. That's the evaluation that you're looking to get from your community, from your peers. So we found that this consumer decision journey really was impactful, and we had to identify that, and now we're starting to align customers to those different segments as they're going through that buying cycle so we can figure out how best to service them. Microsoft's now making other investments in this space in addition to the research, and we're trying to bring brands along with us. How many of you are familiar with Tay? Oh, only a few? Oh, good. All right. So Tay was a 13-year-old AI little girl who was raised basically in a box, and we let Tay out to Twitter. And Tay started to learn from Twitter. She was very excited and nice to begin, very sweet as a 13-year-old would be who'd never talked to anybody. Then Tay started to learn. This is the nicest one I can find. Tay turned into a racist bigot who swore and was awful, and we took Tay offline, and Tay is currently being worked on. These are the things Microsoft's making investments in these space to learn, to test, to move forward ahead of when we're going to put this into where brands will start using these kinds of technology. This was out of Microsoft Research. We're also investing in things like chatbots, which you guys heard more about yesterday, right? Is this a future in how brands are going to be interacting on a support, on a marketing, on a sales side? What does that look like? How can chatbots make your lives easier and make better customer experiences all around? So we're making big investments in this space. We're doing research to better understand how consumers make buying decisions. We're making investments in platform technology that you all can plug in your tools to help you solve that data problem. We're making investments in AI, in chatbots as we go through this. And you're going to hear a little bit more about some of our platform solutions that we have, as well as also from one of our partners in the space as well here as we continue to move forward. I wanted to end with one last video here for you all to kind of set us up to hear what the other solutions Microsoft has in the space.
Cars in the future will be way smarter than cars now because you can select anything. It'll have a computer in it for you, a TV. You don't have to drive the car anymore. It'll do stuff for you. It'll travel faster. You can do anything with it.
Someday the house will be so smart it would know like what you want and what you like.
You would press this button and say what you would like, and then it would automatically come out every time.
Sometimes you wish that, oh, I wish I could have pizza right now. And it would be like, whoosh.
But you gotta speak clearly, because you could say, hey, vegetables while coughing, and then something weird will come out, like some sort of weird new alien life form.
Someday they'll make this mirror that would make it look like you're wearing what you want to wear.
I would be a ninja and I could try a million outfits, and one of them would be red, one of them will be dark black, one of them will be light blue.
Someday, robots will help me do whatever I want.
Like, if you want to go to Paris, your robot will just fly you there, express ride, or just teleport you there. And then give you a quick, and then like organize all the tours for you and everything, and like help you get used to the jet lag and stuff.
Like they would like clean the room, they would fix the house.
Yeah, because you know, with a little imagination, anything's possible.
I love the way I get to follow the children on stage. It's great. Thank you, Jeff, for that. I really appreciate you coming and presenting on that. The big thing there is, I think, is I wish we had that button where we could order some decent food, because that lunch we had in the speaker room was not up to scratch. I'm starving still. Hopefully that set the stage in terms of digital marketing and where we're going there. And really what I wanted to do now was put into picture of where we're at with the Azure platform. So you've probably seen this slide before if you've been in any of Nicole and I's sessions earlier in the week. And essentially what this explains is really the journey we've been on with the Azure platform. We came from a world where we understood that you were on-premises, you were running servers, you may have already committed to running as virtual machines in your on-premises data centers or private clouds. And we offered that notion of moving into the cloud. And we've had a lot of vendors, much like Sitecore here at the front, who have their products that run inside VMs, either on-premises or in our cloud or our other clouds. But over time, we realized that we, to kind of differentiate ourselves and add even more value, we needed to kind of move into this platform as a service layer where we offered more bells and whistles and levers that allowed us to understand what you were doing at the VM level that we could essentially shrink up and offer as a streamlined product to help you. Now, with digital marketing, pretty much all of these product lines at the top relate in some way. And some of the demos we'll do today will hopefully highlight some of those services. But I think the key one to take home here is that Azure App Service offers an extremely streamlined way to take a product such as Sitecore as a content management system and a digital marketing solution and deploy that into Azure very, very quickly. And Howell's demos will kind of show just how quickly that is and ties a lot into what Jeff was saying as well. Now, the other products there also apply into that, and we have more deeper dive sessions into Service Fabric and functions later on in the week. This session will cover mainly on App Service. The breadth of Azure is a lot broader than those four platforms. I tend to think of those as like the presentation layer. If I'm in a browser, if I'm on a mobile application, these are the applications that I'm going to hit. I'm going to have a web browser that hits a web app running in App Service, or I'm going to have a mobile app that's calling the mobile backend that lives in App Service. But in addition to that, under the covers, there's a suite of kind of PaaS solutions that you can connect to benefit from as well. So for instance, if I expand that through, you know, we've got the SQL database that sits inside of Azure that you can plug and use inside of an Azure App Service, much like how Sitecore and our other CMS providers connect into that. We have this notion of DocDB, which is the NoSQL approach, which we're seeing a lot more in mobile applications now, especially in very fast-paced things like the Real Madrid case study, which I'll show you where you can access more information on that later. But then the other aspect that we're finding is that although you may see at the smaller end of the scale with the CMS, the ability to very quickly spin up websites and edit content, is that often you will need to engage in developers to get exactly what you want out of these tools. The complex scenarios that Jeff talked about really do require a little bit more effort and evolution as you go through, especially if you want to be on that bleeding edge. And so things like the developer services that we have with Visual Studio Online and the Xamarin Test Cloud and so forth really allow you to make sure that when you're pushing content out, whether it's developers pushing code out or it's you guys pushing content out on top of your platform, that there is that level of test and quality there that helps you to make sure your users get the best experience they can. And so what we've thought about is like how we present that to you in a way that it isn't kind of service overload here, and we have over 60 services you can kind of plug together into one way and leverage, but how we can do that and understand how you are using these tools and present you solutions that make sense. So Azure Solutions was actually announced at WPC earlier in the year, and what we've done is we've started to understand how people are using Azure and trying to ring-fence these solutions and provide reference architectures to say, look, we know there's lots of customers out there that are using these things in this particular way. And so with that, hopefully what it means is you can take those reference architectures as a kind of a boilerplate and then deploy them into your organization as a really quick start into things like digital marketing or mobile applications. So with digital marketing, some of the common things we saw when we looked at what people were deploying to Azure was that the developers were being asked of very particular things. One of the first things is how they can get personalized content both to the mobile device and also to websites. And more importantly, what they can do to track using data and kind of history of how that user's exploring around the site to decide what gets surfaced. And then with that, the key thing that we saw in businesses is this ability to be able to kind of push that content out as soon as possible based on things like maybe there's a big announcement at Ignite that your product in the expo hall can really kind of snap to from a value proposition perspective, and you want to update your website in a matter of minutes. Those types of things are really critical from a digital marketing perspective. And then obviously the other additional part is hopefully you get lots of traffic based on events like Ignite that drives via social and any other kind of comms channels you have, and your site needs to stay up. You may have heard there was a little debate last night on the TV, and a certain person in that that debate's website went down last night for about 2 hours. So you know, they could have used Azure App Service, and it would have stayed up. But it's those types of things that, you know, it's IT's problem, but really it goes all the way up to the top of the stack of the people that own the content on that website. And you should understand as a digital marketer what the implications there are of spike traffic and how IT are going to look after that. So there's a few other bits and pieces there, but I'm going to go into this particular case study. Now, Real Madrid, very, very large soccer team over in Europe, and they had a problem where they knew they had a global presence. They were selling lots of soccer shirts, especially Beckham when he was playing there and a bunch of other things, but they had no way of reaching out to their fans across the world. Sure, they were capturing the hearts and minds of people that paid for the ticket to go and watch the game in person at the stadium, and they could capture with messaging there, but they had no idea or way of understanding how they could reach out to their fans that are in America. I often see in Seattle people wearing the Real Madrid shirt. So how were they going to reach those fans in a way that kept them engaged and kept them understanding, even though they were very, very far away from the games that were being played? And so they created this fan engagement system that was very heavily based on a mobile application that could reach and push notifications to the end users, the fans, and kind of get them to engage, not just directly one-on-one, but also with the fans communicating with each other. And all of that was based on push notifications built in Azure App Service and all of the website technology being hosted in a CMS. There's a great video, if you go on the solutions page, which I'll show you in a minute, which goes into a lot more detail about exactly what that scenario was. But the time frames it took to get this up and running was very, very short because of the notion of this on-rails experience that we give to quickly get you up to speed. So I'm just going to quickly show you as an example here of what I mean by that. So inside Azure.com, there's a new section at the top called Solutions. And for partners in the room, we are actually aligning here where we're going to start helping with partners to offer these solutions on Rails to allow your customers to kind of gain a quicker speed up. And even customers, you'll see with what I'll show here, can get up to speed just by clicking a few buttons on a web page. So the digital marketing solution is here. And when I click on that page, there's a webinar that actually we presented a few weeks ago that talk a little bit more detail about particular technologies on top of Azure and some more case studies. There's that video from Real Madrid. But then at the bottom, we've actually got explanations of why these particular products and services make sense when it comes to a digital marketing solution. And then we have recommended vendors that we know have built technology solutions on top of Azure that can help out. So for instance, Harold's going to come up and talk about Sitecore and how that works. But if I click on the EpiServer one here, what that's actually going to do is explain from the marketplace what's involved. And if I'm logged into the Azure portal, portal.azure.com, it will immediately take me into that experience. And now what that will do is using what we call as an ARM template, an Azure Resource Management template, it will ask me a variety of different questions, which are parameters as part of that template, and provision the EpiServer product and all the necessary moving parts in Azure, and you'll be up and running in a matter of minutes with that particular solution. Now, the nice thing here is with this solution, when it creates it, it'll create it in its own resource group. So if you've trialed it and you think that, you know, maybe you want to go ahead with this, you'll actually be able to delete that resource group and provision it into your production environment and not use, in this case, my MSDN, where I'm playing and evaluating with things. So it makes it very, very simple to kind of understand and get up to speed with some of these partners, and Harold will go into a lot more detail into that particular Sitecore scenario. Now, with the Sitecore, with the other scenarios there, obviously EpiServer and Sitecore are licensed content management systems, but there's no harm here in things like using Orchard or Drupal or Joomla or WordPress to actually provision these things. And in the most simplest of forms, essentially I'm just deploying an Azure App Service into my environment. I'm using SQL databases as my content store for my CMS. And then I'm using something like Redis Cache to speed up my website. And as an example here, if I scroll down to these other reference architectures, what you'll see is, if I just go back here, is what we can actually do in the cases of an Umbroco sample here, is I can start to see not only what products are involved and more detailed explanations of what's going on with this particular content management system like Umbroco, But I can also get an understanding about how much that might cost me a month to run within Azure based on the estimates that we see. So in this example here, because Umbraco is not part of the marketplace because it's not a commercial product, we can actually go through here and click deploy to Azure, and that would also jump into the portal and deploy Umbraco in this particular configuration. Now, over time, we're going to add more and more partners into this scenario to get you up to speed and started on these digital marketing solutions, especially specifically really around content management and having your websites and mobile applications hosted there. So in your own time, I'd really encourage you to go to azure.com, go to those solutions, check out the digital marketing thing and have a look at some of those reference architectures there, and just evaluate some of those products and see whether it's a good fit for your organization from a digital marketing perspective. Now, in addition to that, as I've mentioned before, like we do have this balance of providing open source CMSs, which have got a lot of contributions online, and we track those, and we found that Orchard and Umbraco are some of the most popular ones that we see being deployed to Azure from an open source perspective. But we know that there are commercial vendors like EpiServer and SiteCore out there that add extremely more value because they are a licensed product on top of what you would get from paying from this running inside of Azure. I've just showed you those slides. I'm just going to skip over those. And so what I'd like to do now is bring Howard on stage, and Howard's going to show a little bit more about how SiteCore can be used to really help from a digital marketing perspective. So I'm just going to hand over the clicker here.
Thanks, Jeremy. I was just sitting there, and a lot of what Jeff and Jeremy were saying was really resonating with me. I'm from SiteCore. My name is Howard Kim. I work in our strategic products group. And my responsibility is basically an incubation team. I bring our emerging products into market. One of those things is how SiteCore works with the cloud. But before we get into just how SiteCore works with Azure, just a little bit about us. Actually, before we get into this, how many people in the room are marketers? Okay, so a fair amount. And then the rest, I'm assuming, are IT? Okay. For marketers, I do not envy your job. It is so complicated today to just reach an individual and just to be heard out of all the noise that's happening on the interweb, right? Back in the 90s, when SiteCore first started, we were a CMS. We were responsible for helping companies organize and their content with websites. That was basically the internet. And then over time, we started listening to our customers, and you know, from brochure websites to engagement to interactions to just connecting with your customer, it became ever more complicated. As Jeff showed, he just emphasized how many tools there are out there, how many social, every year there's a new social network, right? How are you supposed to grab their attention? And so we've kind of organized it into three steps. It's pretty simple. You got to know your customer, turn that data into insight, and then you shape every experience using that information. Now, it turns out this is extremely complicated underneath the covers. Here's what we offer is our SiteCore Experience Platform. All the different components that we've developed over the years since 1999, the necessary gears that you need to have in order to have that top part, which is really what the marketer is trying to do, is I have all these channels I need to talk to these customers with. How am I going to gather all that information, turn it into something actionable, and then choose which channel should I effectively communicate to them with? So for web, everyone has a website. Email, that's also still being used. And then mobile, social, just everything in there. And print. Print is still around. And you have all this massive amounts of content, massive amounts of data. What are you going to do with all this? And that's what SiteCore is all about, is help you to figure out, okay, let's consolidate everything, let's organize everything, and then let the technology, stop the technology from getting in the way, and just enable you to actually talk to your customer. That's what we call content in context. We want to deliver the right experience at the right time, for that individual. And that's really what's going to resonate. And that's what we've seen with our customers, our successful customers. And so the core of our technology is down to what we call a SiteCore experience profile. Pretty straightforward. At the top is probably the heart. It's what we call our experience timeline. Every bar that you see up there represents some sort of interaction, digital interaction that that customer has had, whether it's connecting on Facebook, whether it's connecting on the website, whether there was an email campaign sent to them, whether it's their CRM contact information. Everything is being stored in our experience database for the purpose of using later on in their next interaction with your company. With that information, we start analyzing it. Right now, what's pretty exciting with machine learning is that you have all this data, this big data, all this intelligence that you're gathering, but you have no idea what to do with it. Machine learning is really the next evolution. That's what's going to happen. They're going to take a look at this data, and you have computers basically analyze, okay, this person, because of the way they went to my website, because of the way they interacted, responded to my emails, they're more like a business consumer, whereas another person would be more like a personal shopper, for example. Knowing this simple piece of information is extremely beneficial in the future steps. And so here we have, on the left-hand, your left-hand side, all the different data sources that we're gathering into our experience database, call that inbound information, and then we use that to personalize components on a website. We also have anonymous visitor data. So this is just all the traffic that's coming to your website or through your digital channel, and those patterns that come in. So you can say, well, most of the time, 80% of my traffic or my demographic is mostly business corporate users. And then you can adjust the website for that. And then, of course, we have our own experience database, experience profile information that we also layer on. So there's all these data sources. What are you supposed to do as a marketer to do that? And then on the flip side, for the IT folks, the marketer says, hey, I want to do this. I just need a few petabytes of disk space. And then the IT person says, well, how am I supposed to do that? So the challenges just keep on piling on and piling on. And we want to simplify all this. So that's enough for slides. Why don't I switch over to the live demo and show you what that actually looks like. So here I have a site that is our demo site, our Sitecore demo site. It's a legal website. It's pretty much what every standard website has: the homepage, a hero banner, some press releases, and then a little bit about their people. Pretty straightforward. On here on the right, we have a little widget, and this is coming from the Sitecore experience database. Information about, basic information: what device you're using, what browser you're using, and then we have some on-site behavior. I'm going to start profiling you as soon as I start clicking through your website. So let's see what that looks like. So let's say I go to a practice area and I say, okay, I'm going to go to my corporate finance page. In it, I have everything relating to finance. Now when I go over to the right, I can see that Sitecore is starting to make some decisions about you. I say, well, based on your clicks, I just did a couple clicks there, you're probably more like a CEO or an executive because you're concerned about corporate finance. And this is all determined by your marketing plans. And what you know about your customer. And then as I go back to the page, you'll notice that, well, I don't know if you caught it, but the banner changed. It became personalized to Susan, the CEO, a very, very simple example. I'm going to flip over to another page. This one is, I was doing this last night, where I went through a lot more clicks, and now I have a more developed persona. Okay, I'm Susan, the CEO persona, but I also have a little bit of interest in other areas. I've also downloaded a corporate law page, a white paper, and then I signed up for a webinar. Now let's go into what's going on behind the scenes. How did I do this as a marketer? How much work does it take? I'll log into the Sitecore authoring server, my secure password of one letter. And then I'm exposed to basically the entire platform of Sitecore. In it, I can go and I can edit pages, I can do content management, I can do social management. But what I wanted to show you is our experience profile. And here I am. I was captured in our experience database and has all my profile information. So let's go in. And as I've shown you before, this is our timeline of all our interactions. If I click on one of these interactions, you can see that this is where I accomplish a goal, more info. And then somewhere in here I have the download and sign up for a webinar. And you can also supplement this information with information in your CRM database or other or your data warehouse where you have other intelligence tools. And so you have this one cohesive contact card, all this intelligence so that you can reach out to them. Very, very easy. Now if I want to go and use that information, I can go into the Experience Editor, go right into my webpage. And here are all the different hero banners I've set up, for one for Susan the CEO, one for Lucas Lawyer, and then one for Margaret the Mother. And it's really, really easy to set up these personalizations. It's kind of like Outlook in the Rules Wizard. You go in and say, well, here, I want to construct my rules and say, if this person has this sort of pattern, then show this piece of content, or show them this form, or redirect them to a page. Very, very easy to do. We've had a lot of great feedback from our customers and our marketers. The technology doesn't get in the way. It helps them accomplish the goals. So that's a little bit on the front end. So marketers would say, okay, that's great. I want to do it. Hand it over to IT, and they're left with this problem. Well, what do we do, right? That's where Azure comes into play. We've really invested a lot in Azure. We see a lot of benefit in going with our Azure PaaS technology. It's really enabling the IT people to keep up with the marketing demands. Right here, you'll see a diagram of, you know, on-premise infrastructure. You know, this is typically what an IT person would construct with, you know, a standard CMS, right? And I'll show you how this is going to change with PaaS, Azure PaaS. And we can do this all in minutes. Now, as a marketer, and speaking of customer experience, I can show you this script and explain all the boring things that it does. You know, I load this into Azure and click a button and boom, it runs all the instructions. Fantastic. There's a very limited audience. Actually, there's a lot of people in this building or in this conference that would find that exciting. But for the marketers in the room, we've developed something a little bit fun. And it kind of shows the power of Azure. So we built a chatbot. We call it Cortana. It knows a couple of commands, so it's less than a 13-year-old, like Ty. It's more like a one-month-old. But I'm going to tell it, it's going to help me deploy Sitecore. Okay? In the background, you'll see I have an Azure portal open, and that's where my resource groups are set up. So I'll say, hi, Cortana. Saying, welcome back, Howard. It knows my Azure subscription that I'm using. It's asking me, what do I want to do? Okay, well, as an IT person, my marketing exec told me that I need to stand up Sitecore. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. Let's create an XP deployment for me. Then it's saying, well, how many servers do you want? Well, it's a small campaign, so I just need one server. By the way, Azure has 99.5% availability, so if one server will do. And I want one authoring server. And what do I want to name it? Let's say Ignite 2016. So it says confirming, I'll say yes. And if everything works, it's now started to create the site. So let me refresh this. And here's my Ignite 2016 resource group getting fired up. Now, what is it doing? Well, I have a previously created site, and here are all the resources that it's spinning up. So remember that on-premise architecture? All the web apps, all the SQL servers, we're using App Insights, Azure Search, just basically anything you need to run Sitecore. It's all being spun up, all being called from a couple commands through a chatbot. That's the experience that we're trying to accomplish. We're really trying to get the technology out of the way and hide it from the marketer and just focus on the business goal of reaching your customer.
Okay, thank you, Howard. That was awesome. So we've got one last thing I wanted to show, which how many of you in the room have heard of the brand campaign management solution that was announced by the Power BI team, just out of interest? Okay, good. So this is fresh for everybody. So you can visit that website. And what we'll actually take you to is an ability for you to go and create this solution. So there's a very simple page you can hit, and you click Install Now. That will, again, jump you into this particular wizard. And this one doesn't take you into the portal. What it actually does is it'll ask you a series of questions based on kind of connecting your Twitter handle that you were interested in using. It configures the rules you want to track in terms of the search terms and the handles you want to look at. And then it provisions all these things in Azure. Now, what it's actually doing, if I just show you the end result and just zoom in here, it's giving me a Power BI dashboard. And so in this instance, I'm using this personally because in my role, I own Azure Functions as a product. And it allows me to track both the hashtag Azure Functions and at Azure Functions mentions publicly across Twitter. And inside of here, it's doing things for me, such as giving me the sentiment overall of all my tweets. So in this case, we have very good sentiment. We can see that there's been over 3 million favorites of tweets that have gone out there already. And I've only had this tracking for probably 4 weeks now. And we've had over 17 million tweets on Azure Functions. And then it'll start showing you things like what the top ones were, what the actual tweet was, what the sentiment was and the average usage of there, which you can kind of dig in and drill into. Some of the other nice parts here, if I scroll up, I've got a few different views open, is that it'll start kind of talking to you about your inbound tweets, what kind of key hashtags were used in all of our tweets. So obviously Azure Functions is very popular, serverless, which is a terminology that maps to Azure Functions, and Azure and so forth were heavily commonly used terms as part of those tweets. And on the right-hand side, we can even see what the trending inbound tweets were. So the Azure Functions post with F# was the most popular post we've actually had in social networking there. And you can see the traffic over time with a nice little spike here when we pushed out a preview demo campaign to try and garner some awareness. So this is a great way of tracking things inside here. And you can go all the way down to seeing individual tweets from myself and various other engineering teams that were the most popular tweets that came through. Now, in addition to this, if I just zoom back out again, you can even do things such as, if I click on the sentiment tab here, it'll start loading the sentiment over time. So maybe you've released a campaign and you want on an hourly or minute basis to understand what the sentiment is and how it's tracked over time. You can start to see whether your campaigns are making an impact and show those kind of power dashboards to your management to show, look, we've done this new campaign, we've had this blog post out, and this is the kind of traffic that we've got. It's going to be very useful for me with some of the things I've launched as a product manager this week. With the Ignite hashtag and my product hashtag as well. So I'm really looking forward to how that works. Now, under the covers, that provisioning template is very straightforward to do. If I go into the Azure portal, essentially what that's actually doing is it's creating a series of different services for me. It's running a logic app. So if you've been to any logic app sessions today, it's really about running a long-running process that can be triggered by particular events. Now, in this case, we have a trigger with Twitter, which says whenever on the tweet stream we see the Azure Functions mentioned, we'll trigger that logic app. And the logic app hands the tweet to the Azure Function. And the Azure Function is the thing that explodes that tweet apart. And it runs some machine learning to understand the sentiment of that tweet and to kind of output any mentions of any handles on there and who's favorited that tweet and how many retweets it's had. And it'll actually go and store it in the SQL databases that are sitting there. Then what happens is the Power BI charts then map and read all that data from SQL. So we're using all the moving parts of Azure here and Power BI sitting on top to really benefit from this kind of social listening tools without necessarily having to go and buy a large licensed product to get the same kind of results. And this is something that is very, very cheap to run inside of Azure because it is only these particular services. And things like, for instance, I've changed my SQL plan to be a lower cost plan because really all I'm doing is storing data in there for the tweets that come through. And so I can come in, for instance, and just kind of scale this back. You can see that this pricing tier, I have it on the cheapest tier, which is basic. And that's very satisfactory for this particular solution inside of Power BI. So you can run these social listening things at a very cheap rate. You can even do things like not just listen for one handle, you can listen for multiple handles. And it's very easy to go back in and reconfigure that Logic app. So for instance, if I jump through here to the Logic app and go into the Logic app designer here, I can actually edit the rules. So you can see here that there's a rule in the action for Logic app which says when a new tweet appears. And you can see here I'm tracking not just Azure Functions, I'm tracking Azure App Service, which is another one of my products. And then all that information's been stored in SQL. And then in Power BI, I can just do the filtering there to just show Azure Functions or just show Azure App Service. So this is a great way of doing social listening very, very quickly through Power BI using Azure as a back end. Now, it's called the CAMP Brand and Campaign Management Solution. If you do a Bing search or a Google search for that, that blog post will come up. There's a great video there. I'd really encourage you guys to go away and try deploying that and follow your company or organization or even your personal tweets to see kind of what kind of sentiment you're getting. And you can actually drill down into the sentiment and see which ones are being flagged as bad sentiment and who the people are that aren't friendly and who the ones that are friendly for your products and services. And so that was like kind of the end kind of usage of all of the little moving parts in Azure that's being used there, but a very powerful solution you get out of it as a marketer. So hopefully with that, you have a good understanding about how Azure can help you with your digital marketing solutions. Now, we'll be around for a little bit after the session. We'll also be in the expo hall if you have any particular questions around Sitecore or any of the other vendors or Azure products in the expo hall. I would encourage you to go and sign up if you haven't already for Azure.com. Sign up for a free trial and maybe get started by deploying a Sitecore CMS instance or even go to the Power BI campaign management thing and track your tweets. With that free trial, you'll be able to deploy those things and experiment with them within that month realm. There is a lot of training available on azure.microsoft.com/community/training that you can go and try out as well. And again, I encourage you to go to azure.com in general and have a look at that digital marketing solution and see how customers have benefited by running their digital marketing solutions on top of Azure. There are a ton of new things available for the IT pros in a room as well. I'm sure you've seen this slide 1,000 times already, Ignite. But just to hit home on this now, the Microsoft IT Pro Career Center is a really good place to start if you're trying to understand kind of how you as an IT pro can evolve over time and learn from some of the things that we've presented here this week at Ignite. So with that, thanks again for your time. We would love any feedback on this session. There's the evaluation thing here if you happen to have a QR scanner on your mobile device. Or if you go to MyIgnite, I highly recommend checking out the MyIgnite mobile app that's available on all the devices or the website myignite.microsoft.com. One other little quick thing I'll leave you with before we close out is something that I wasn't aware of. But if you go to myignite.microsoft.com, you can actually add an Ignite bot to either Facebook Messenger, to your Skype, or in this case, I've even added to my Slack channel. And it can do some really nice things. And this is just another great example of how you can engage with your audience via a new form of channel, which is chatbots. So for instance, I could say, when is Jeremy Thake presenting? And that will post back, and you'll see now that that's actually answered, that I'm just really plugging a session. I have another session on mobile solutions tomorrow at 10:15 in the morning. But you can see there from that chatbot, I actually have the ability to engage and click on add to schedule or go and find more information about that directly from my chat interface. And that's available both in Messenger, Skype, Slack, and a lot of other channels as well. And I think it's a great way to start engaging with people, especially kind of the new generations that sit with their faces in their phones the entire time, that are chatting all the time, that may not visit websites or may not go to particular videos. And this is very, very easy to build. And there's been some great bot framework sessions today and available online on Channel 9 as well. So I hope this session was useful. Thanks very much to Jeff and Hal for coming up and presenting on their sections in the presentation. And we'll be around for Q&A afterwards, but we're going to close off the recording now. So thank you.